Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I'm coming to you with a special announcement. I want to talk to you about the fall classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. This fall, we will be offering Defending the Christian Faith on Monday evenings, American Sign Language on Monday evenings, Financial Peace on Monday evenings. On Tuesday, we will have Biblical Counseling, where we teach people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have a special class coming up on Thursdays, and it will begin in October, dealing with Black Hebrews, something that is happening in our communities today that we want to be aware of. So come and join us here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. Take a class. For more information, you can call us at 412-242-3255. For more information, you can call us at 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen this evening.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 1. So please open your Bible to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, as we join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 1.
Lay hold on eternal life, unto which thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And I want to speak to you on this subject today, looking for a reason to fight. Looking for a reason to fight. Fighting for a good reason. Finding a reason to fight. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me this morning, so I want to give this illustration so that you'll not misunderstand me. There was a truck driver, and he was going to the zoo, and he had 500 penguins on his truck. And his truck broke down, and he was there stuck with these 500 penguins. And so all of a sudden, there was another truck driver coming along, and he didn't have a load, so he said, if I give you $500, will you take these penguins to the zoo? And the man said, sure. And so he loaded them up on his truck and, you know, went about getting his truck fixed. And the next day, he was driving along, and he saw this man with the penguins walking down the street. And the guy said, man, what are you doing? He said, yo, I gave you $500 to take these penguins to the zoo. And the man said, I did take them to the zoo, but I had enough money left over, now I'm taking them to the movies. I'm back. See, I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. You know, some people are going to say, well, you know, Pastor said we need to look for a reason to fight. And so you might want to go out and square off against somebody. You know, you might want to look to get into an argument with somebody. You know, that's not what I'm talking about today. You know, as we look at the Apostle Paul, you know, he is challenging us here to find something in your life to fight for. Oh, a lot of folk, you know, just kind of floating through life without any direction, without any purpose in life. Paul said, look, man, find something. He said, in my life, you know, I found something to fight for. I found a cause to give my life to, and I fought for that cause right down to the very end. In your notes this morning, you'll see three things as we open up today. Paul found a reason to fight. We see, first of all, Paul's exhortation to young Timothy. Paul was writing to Timothy somewhere between, and the scholars are divided as to the exact date, but somewhere between AD 63 and AD 66. And as Paul wrote to Timothy in his first letter, Paul tells Timothy to fight the good fight. He says, Timothy, find something to give your life to. Find something meaningful and give your heart, give your soul, and fight the good fight. 2 to 3 years later, Paul is sitting in a Roman dungeon on death row, realizing that the final days of his life has come. And the Apostle Paul, reflecting back over his life as a believer. And I'm not sure how long Paul was saved, but we know that once again, some 2 to 3 years earlier, he had wrote to Timothy telling him to fight the good fight. Paul came to the end of his life. And with all confidence, as it were, and I say this figuratively, as he is lying on his deathbed, realizing that his life, as a matter of fact, he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul wasn't talking about getting out of that dungeon. He wasn't talking about departing out of prison. Paul was talking about departing and leaving the face of the earth. He could look back over his life, and he could say, I fought the good fight. And as you think about what Paul is telling Timothy here, the Greek word that Paul uses for the word fight is the word agona. And that's where we get the English word agony from. What is Paul? Paul said in 1 Timothy, he said, I've agonized the good agony. I've fought the good fight. And then reflecting back over his life, he says, I finished the course. I kept the faith. I fought the good fight. I agonized the good agony. See, sometimes in life, brothers and sisters, you're going to have to fight. Sometimes you got to pick up a cause and you got to fight for the cause that God has laid on your heart. You know, realizing that as we age in life, you know, sometimes you see people that just give up. They just want to give up. And so for them, it might not be going out and witnessing, or for them, it might not be going out and teaching, or going out and being a part of something that's in society, that's active and out in the marketplace. But for them, it may just mean you got to continue to fight, to hang in there. You just can't give up life. You just can't give up living. You've got to continue to fight. You have seen on several occasions how that people who had been married for many years, 50, 60, 70 years, and you probably know of situations like this too, where one of the individuals will pass away in the marriage, and it won't be long after that the other person passes away too. You know, why is that? The other person just gave up. They just didn't want to fight anymore. They just lost that will. They lost that desire. Paul's saying here that life is hard sometimes. And sometimes you got to agonize. Sometimes you got to fight through situations. Sometimes when you realize your purpose in life, sometimes when you realize that God has given your life meaning and that God has placed you here for a reason, that you've got to continue to fight the good fight that God has for you. God wants his people to find a reason to fight. God wants you, you know, if you're in life right now and you have no cause and you have no purpose and you are not fighting for something, you're not living. You don't begin to live until you find a cause to fight for. All these young individuals going through school, in grade school, in junior high, then high school, some of them just trying to make it from one grade to the next. Oh, let me tell you something. If you get some purpose in your life, you'll find a reason to fight. If you get some vision in your life and you say, so you ask a lot of young people, what do they want to be? They don't know. And maybe it is too soon for them to be able to direct their course of life and pinpoint this is what they want to do. But they ought to have some kind of direction. They ought to have some kind of movement in life. You ought to be headed somewhere. Because if you're not headed somewhere, there's no reason for you to fight.
Man, you look at folk, now, once again, unless you're sick or you work at nights or something to that effect, or, you know, sometimes, you know, as we get a little bit older, we might not be able to get up. But I see a lot of young folk. I'm getting ready to get into trouble now. That's all right. Sleeping. 11, 12, 1 o'clock. They don't have anything to fight for. If you have something to fight for, you get your behind up out of that bed. But you just lay there and roll around and flop around. Why? Because you don't have anything to fight for. You don't have anything to live for. Paul said, oh, I got something to fight for. He said, I can't waste my time sleeping it away. He said, look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And here we see Goliath is opposing the armies of God, and here is David, this young shepherd boy. He sees, and once again, I'm going to go back. I'm going to give my age here. But he sees Goliath out in the valley selling wolf tickets. Now, some of y'all know what that is, you know, selling wolf tickets. That's when, you know, you stand up there, and you bad, and you challenge anybody to come against you. And so here's Goliath out there selling wolf tickets against God's people. And David says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29, and David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not something for me to fight for? Look, all the rest of the army, you guys are intimidated. You're letting Goliath stand out there and sell wolf tickets, and nobody's doing anything. Is there not a cause to fight for? Back it up a little bit. Back that train up a little bit. Back in verse 26. And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who killed this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? Who does he think he is? He done got me upset. He done got me riled up. Is there not a cause? Man, the name of Jehovah God is at stake. God brought us out of Egypt, through the wilderness, took us into the promised land. And here is an uncircumcised Philistine, an ungodly Philistine, standing out here defying not only the armies of God, but defying God himself. Is there not a cause? My brothers and sisters, what is the cause that you're fighting for? You know, in Africa, when I shared that in America, that young black men are killing each other left and right, they had no concept of that. As a matter of fact, in Kenya, you can't even have a gun. Nobody has guns in Kenya but the police. And so I'm sure that they have other ways of violence. But when I shared with them that, you know, these brothers in the street are packing and folk getting killed left and right in the neighborhoods, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Oh, I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. But some of you young ladies that have had children out of wedlock, you ought to be coming back talking to these young ladies. You ought to get with becoming ladies of character or YCC and come and work with some. Is there not a cause? Is there not something to fight for? You know, some of you done drank more alcohol than there is water in the Monongahela River. God may want you to come and minister to drug addicts, alcoholics. Is there not a cause? Man, there's something to fight for. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's defying the armies of God? Who is this devil that's wreaking havoc in our community? Who is the devil that is causing black-on-black crime? Who is the devil that's destroying our communities? Is there not a cause? Paul said, find a reason to fight and fight for it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, look at that. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you are going. You know what? We're all headed to the grave. And once you get there, there's nothing you can do to come back and change anything in this life. You are here right now. You are here right now. You know, God has placed on my heart, and everybody should have a vision statement. What is your vision statement? What is it that drives you? You know, as I try to tweak my vision statement and work on it, you know, one of the things that I'm clear on, that the one reason that I'm here is to help stamp out biblical illiteracy. That's why God had placed me here, to be able to study the word. We're all headed that way. And once we get there, there's nothing we can do. There was a young man who graduated from high school by the name of William Borden. He lived in Chicago. He was heir to the Borden estate, which was made him a millionaire just by being in the family that he was in. And as he graduated from high school, his parents, he was a good Christian man, his parents gave him a graduation present, a trip around the world. And as he went around the world, he saw Europe and he saw the Middle East and he saw Asia and China. And his heart just became burdened, and he wanted to go into missions. And so he gave everything up, and in the back of his Bible, he wrote down, no reserves, no reserves. He went to, I believe it was Yale or Princeton, got on fire for God, started Bible studies, prayer groups. Man, just saw people come to the Lord left and right on that college campus. And then he got a burden for Muslims in China. And that was his calling, to go minister to Muslims in China. And then when he graduated, he got all kind of job offers. Number one, not only because of who he was as far as his family, but because of who he was as far as his character and what he was able to do. Got all kind of job offers. Turned them all down because he wanted to be a missionary. Underneath no reserves, he wrote, no return. On his way to China to minister to Muslims, he stopped in Egypt to learn Arabic so he could minister to them. And as he studied Arabic in Egypt, he was there for a couple of months, and he contracted spinal meningitis and died. And somebody thought, man, what a waste of a life. Here he was, a millionaire. Here he was, one of the greatest minds in society. And yet and still, he let it all go to go to minister as a missionary, and he ended up catching the disease and dying. Well, when they got his shipped his stuff home, somebody found his Bible, and under the words no reserves and no returns, he wrote no regrets. No regrets. He came to his deathbed. He came to the end, knowing that he had a cause that he was going to fight for, and he fought for that cause right up to the end. How about you, my brothers and sisters? Have you picked up a cause? What is your cause? If I came to you and sat you down and talked to you one-on-one and asked you, what is your cause? What is your purpose? Why does God have you here? What could you say? What is your cause? You see, God has designed his people for a purpose. In the Living Bible, Psalm 139 and verse 16 says this: you saw me before I was born, and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. God has a destiny for you. God has a purpose for you. Look what he told Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God has a purpose for your life. Paul uses the term predestined. And I know there's a lot of debate and a lot of argument that we can get in over predestination, but let me say this about predestined. Predestined means that God has something for you. Comes from the word pre, which means before, and destiny or destined in. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Predestined, before and in. God knew your ending before you were even born. God wrote it out for you. And God created you with a purpose in mind. You know, there's a show, and many of you have probably seen this show before. It's called American Inventors. Now, nobody comes on American Inventors and says, I invented this thing. It's called a thingamajig. Well, what does it do? Well, I don't know what it does. It's just a thingamajig. Everybody that comes on there invents something, and there's a purpose for the invention. God created you with his hands. God created you for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. And you need to realize that God has something for you to do. And you need to ask yourself the question, what do I do that nobody can do what I do, like I do what I do, when I do what I do? God created you to do something unique. God created you specifically for a purpose, and there's something that you are supposed to be doing like nobody else can do it. Nobody. Whatever it is that God has called you to do. Other people might be more knowledgeable than you. They might have more money than you. They might have more influence in society than you have. They might have more power. They might have more this, more that. But you know what? If God created you uniquely for a purpose, nobody can do what you do when you do what you do like you do. Nobody can do it. And Solomon says that whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might, because where you are going when you get to the grave, that's it. You can't do anything else. Let me move on to my first point in my message this morning. My first point, the benefits of having a cause. So we'll stop with this one right here. I'll give you a, we don't want to load. I know this is Communion Sunday. We don't want to load in my first Sunday back. I got a lot of preaching up in me now. You know, I preached while I was in Africa, but you know, I've been back for a couple of weeks and I haven't preached since so I got a lot of preaching. I got to get it out. All right. The benefits of having a cause to fight for. The first thing, that if you have a cause to fight for, it will decrease your aggravation. The second thing, it will increase your inspiration. And the third thing, it will sharpen your concentration. The first thing, if you got a cause to fight for, it will decrease your aggravation. Having a cause to fight for will eliminate the frustration of meaningless work. You know, you can live your life in frustration doing what somebody else wants you to do. But when you got a purpose and you got a cause and you know what it is that God wants you to do, then you need to be about that business. Man was going down the street and he was pulling a donkey and there was a little boy behind it. And somebody looked at the man and said, man, you're stupid. Why don't you ride the donkey? So the man got on the donkey, and he began to ride the donkey. As they walked down to the next village, the man was riding the donkey. The little boy was behind. And somebody said, man, how can you be on that donkey riding and let the little boy walk? So the man got off the donkey and put the little boy on the donkey. They went into the next village, and somebody said, man, that's got to be the laziest boy in the world. How can he ride while you walk? Man got on the donkey.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Looking for a Reason to Fight, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.